Hey, good morning, West Campus. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We have an exciting week ahead. This is our Love Week. So we're out in the community, we're loving, we're serving in the name of Christ. If you haven't signed up, you can still join in this week. And it's such a great thing to do. Also, a big thing coming up is next Sunday, August 1st, we are doing our annual service at Lake Erie. We are doing it at Lakeview Park, and we're going to do one service at 10 a.m. Then we're going to have baptisms after it. So if God has reached your heart, you've committed your life to Christ, the scriptures teach the next thing to do is to get baptized. So you can sign up online today, and man, I would love to celebrate that incredible milestone with you. And I love the beach service, so make sure to come. Make sure to bring people. It's going to be great. And today we're going to continue and finish our sermon series in 1 Peter. But before we get into that, would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Father, we ask that you would just guide us as we look at this powerful text today. Help us to see its truth. Help us to understand its power. Father, help us to resist the attacks of evil in our life. And help us to live in anticipation of your strength and your help towards us. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, growing up, my cousin, who was always more athletic than I am, we loved to compete, we loved sports, we loved wrestling, we loved doing all that kind of stuff, and he was usually always better than me, which was kind of constantly frustrating. But I like to think that I'm better looking, more funny, better personality, smarter, you know, all that kind of thing, so it balanced out. But whenever we would play sports, he would always kind of accuse me of sandbagging. And if you're not familiar with that term, what it means is that you are putting out less effort than you're capable of, that you're living under your potential. And I always would always get mad when he would call me on that, but I have to be honest with you, most of the time he was right. That's exactly what I was doing. And the problem with sandbagging is that you never live up to your potential. And once you start doing it, it can become an easy habit to do because it requires far less effort. And today, I think that sometimes in our relationship with God, we unintentionally sandbag. And what I mean by that is that God has given you and I more potential than we know. There's more fight in us than we think there is. And there's more opportunity to become the people God has wanted us to be. But sometimes we don't live up to what is in us. And today we're going to see that Peter is going to challenge that. And he's going to call more out of us. And I want to share this simple idea with you today that I think is going to help call out more in us. And it's this idea. I want you to know today, and I want you to receive this in your heart, that at the end of the day, Jesus wins. And here's what I mean. If you're a follower of Jesus today, at the end of the day, he who began a good work is going to finish it in you. I know you might be struggling. I know you might be failing. I know you might feel like your relationship is up and down and all over the place. But I want to tell you, at the end of the day, Jesus wins. At the end of the day, in your struggles, in your pain, he wins. At the end of the day, all the suffering and the ugliness and the evil that we see in our lives and in this world, Jesus wins. And what that means for you and me, that ultimate reality means that we can face the present with a new kind of attitude and heart and resilience and hope and joy. And Peter is going to help us to do that. And I love these words today. Here's what it says. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 8. He says this, be sober-minded, be watchful. In other words, keep your eyes open. Pay attention to this reality. You need to understand this and see this. And what does he want us to understand and see? Here's what he says. Your adversary, the devil, your enemy. You and I, we have an identity, an enemy, I'm sorry. It's not the people that we think it is. It's not people on Facebook or in a different political party or the people we're struggling with at work or home. But no, our enemy, he says, is the devil. And the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It's intense. But verse 9, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Resist him. Others are fighting the same battle. You're not alone. And after you've suffered a little while from this, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. These are powerful verses. And I want to show you that Peter is actually saying some very empowering things to us today. And these empowering ideas, I think they're going to help you to find a new gear in your life, to find a new strength, to find a new potential that you didn't know you had. And I think you're going to see the hand of God in a powerful way. Now, there's three ideas I want to pull out today. I want to talk about the awareness that Peter is leading us to. He says, hey, be sober-minded, be watchful, be aware of this reality. I want to talk about that. Then I want to talk about the resistance. So the devil's prowling around like a roaring lion. Resist him. I want to talk about what that means. And lastly, I want to talk about the anticipation of this verse. He says, hey, the God of all grace has called you to eternal glory. Do you know the story of your life ends in eternal glory? The last chapter is eternal glory. That there is an anticipation and a hope that can fill our lives today that I think we all really, really need. And we're going to talk about that. So let's talk about this first one, the awareness. Now, the context of this verse is the suffering that comes from spiritual attack. Now, Peter here is not talking about suffering in general. He's not talking about sometimes a terrible diagnosis that we get. He's not talking about losing someone we love. He's not talking about the suffering that comes from these other places. He's talking about the suffering that comes from the enemy of our souls, from what he calls the devil. Now, when you hear this, you might think either one, wow, Chess, this is getting interesting, or this is getting weird. And we all, when we hear this idea of the enemy of our soul, of the devil, this roaring lion seeking someone to devour, there's two dangerous places that we tend to go. One is we become overly superstitious, or the other is we substitute this idea too much. And let me talk about both these, because we need to avoid both of them. The overly superstitious is that it's the person that sees the devil under every rock. They're the person that every problem in their life is the devil. The devil this, the devil that. And maybe some of us, you might have grown up in a church like that, that it was always the devil this, the devil that. And in reality, what that ends up becoming is it becomes an excuse that absolves us from responsibility. I've had people say, Chet, you know, the devil's really, really attacking me at work this week. I say, yeah, what's going on? Well, my boss is really upset at me. Yeah, why are they upset? Well, I've been late every day for the last 7 days. Bro, that's not the devil. The devil he didn't have to do that. You did that. Wake up earlier. Be on time. Be a good employee. That's not the attack of the devil. That's the attack of your own stupidity. Don't blame it on him. And so sometimes, followers of Jesus, we give the devil way too much credit. And we blame on him things that we're doing. The devil's saying, you got it under control. You don't need me. You're messing it up all on your own. And so Peter is not saying the devil is under every rock. And I don't think you should live life that way. But here's the other reality. It's substitution, where we just say, none of our problems are spiritual. Now, here's the danger in that. Some of the battles in our life need fought through prayer. Some of the battles in our life need fought through meditating on God's word. Some of the battles in our life, they require the spiritual realities to be at work. We need to be seeking God. We need to be praying. We need to be humbling ourselves under his mighty hand. And so there are times where there's a darkness in our life that it's not coming from our bad decisions. It's not coming from anyone else, but it is a spiritual attack. And Peter says, be aware. Keep your eyes wide open. That happens sometimes. We have an enemy. He says the enemy is the devil. It's not other people. It's the devil. It's this spiritual entity that is trying to destroy the works of God. And that might sound like a really ancient and archaic idea, but I think that we are naive if we don't think that's true. There is real evil in this world beyond mankind. And when you acknowledge it, you're actually more prepared to deal with it. That's what Peter is helping us to see. Now, the devil, that word devil, it actually is the word slanderer. So that's what the word devil means, slanderer. And so what does the devil do? Well, sometimes one of his favorite attacks is that he slanders you to yourself. He tells you how horrible you are, how much of a failure you are, how God could never love you, how you could never be used of God because you're such a train wreck and everybody's going to think horrible things about God because how imperfect you are. Any of that sound familiar at times? That's what he does. That's one of his main tools. And what is he doing? He is bent on destroying your faith. That's it. Your trust in the goodness of God, in the trustworthiness of God, in the hope of God, and in the purpose of God. And so sometimes in life, we can be going through a hard time, and it's just a hard time. Sometimes we can be going through a hard time and there's a spiritual reality to it. And that's what you want to try and discern. There's no perfect formula to discern that. But I will say, here's how we might know if it's more spiritual in nature than just a hard time, is it's especially dark and it's especially trying to get at our faith. It's really trying to make us doubt, can I trust God? Is he who he says he is? Does he love me? It's going at the heart of those things because the devil's aim is not to wound you, it's to destroy you. And he's going to destroy you by destroying your faith. And sometimes you can be under an attack and everything in your life is actually going great. But your faith is being challenged. And that's what Peter is talking about here. So today I want you to be aware that those times will happen. That he is out there, that you need to be aware and you need to recognize this reality, that we need to be sober-minded and watchful for it. And then when it comes, then we have to do what Peter says, resist him, standing firm in your faith, knowing the same kinds of sufferings your brothers are going through in the whole world. So this is the second part. I need to be aware of it. And then when I think it's happening, when I'm discerning this happening in my life, I need to resist it. Now, how do we resist the devil? Well, let me give you some ideas here. If you listened to the sermon last week, if you didn't, you can go and listen to it online and you can take a quiz on it later. But last week, we read the verses right before this. And those verses dealt with the topics of pride and anxiety. Or we could say pride and fear. The verses right before that, we're talking about pride and fear. Then we get to these verses that we just read. Now, I believe that Peter is writing these. They're connected. This is a sophisticated letter. It's not happenstance that pride and fear are brought up and then the devil's brought up. And so what I think Peter is showing us, that the way we deal with the devil, as the great pastor Tim Keller said, the way we deal with the devil is by dealing with our own sin. That here's what the devil does. He just helps amplify and encourage pride and fear in my life. He's like that person that is raising the panic and anxiety level in my life. And he's like the person that's saying, Chet, you don't apologize to your wife right now. You're right. Remember when she did this? And what he always wants to do is to feed those unhealthy realities in me. And so on the flip side is the way that I deal with them is I resist the pull towards pride and fear. When my ego is being stroked and encouraged, I resist the devil by humbling myself under the mighty hand of God. When I am terrified and I'm in self-pity and I'm saying, God, poor me, poor me, poor me. This is terrible. Everyone should feel bad for me. Life is so terrifying. I say, no. Be strong and courageous. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I resist living in the fear. Because the devil, he doesn't care what strategy, but those are two of his favorites. Of the ones that he most partners with us in is pride and fear. See, you can fail God by being overconfident. You can fail God by being underconfident. See, there's a lot of people, and maybe you're one of them. God has gifted you. You have a calling. You have a purpose. But guess what? You won't live it out because you're afraid to fail. You're afraid to mess it up. And so you are paralyzed in your service to God. And guess what? The devil would love to keep you there. He would love to feed that fear. He would love to say, you can't do it. You're inadequate. See, he can work on that side of the game just as much as he can work on the prideful side that says, you're right. Everyone should be. Either way, he can work in stirring up our aggression. He can work in stirring up our passive aggression, pride, and fear. He will pull on those strings all day long. And so the way we resist him is by dealing with those. See, when you think of satanic activity, you might think of the movies like The Exorcist or The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And we think, well, someone who the devil's really working on, their head's going to spin and they're going to puke and they're going to speak in Aramaic and Greek and Hebrew, even though they never studied it. No. That's not how it works. In fact, all the things that we are scared of, because I hate scary movies, I won't watch them, they give me nightmares. See, all that stuff, that's not where evil really is. You know where evil really is? It's when you argue with your wife and you're too proud to apologize. That's what you should really be scared of. You know where ego really is? It's where we just constantly, we're putting ourselves first, and we're justifying ourselves in it, and we're neglecting our family. See, we should not be scared of what Hollywood tells us to be scared of. We should be scared of the pride and the fear that can grip us and how evil will pour fuel on that fire. That's what's really scary. That's where the devil is really at. See, what we think is supernatural is actually going to look very natural to you and me. And that's what Peter says you got to watch out for. That's where the work of evil is. But here's the beauty, church. You can resist it. How do I know? Because Peter says you can. Because the Bible says you can actually stand firm in your faith. And just think about this for a second. I love this. Peter says the devil is like a roaring lion seeking someone who he can devour. That's a scary picture, isn't it? Like, I've never wrestled with a lion, but I wouldn't want to. They seem dangerous and powerful. But think about what Peter's saying here. He's saying, that's what the devil is like. But you can resist him. You can beat him. So if he's a roaring lion, and you can beat him, what does that make you? I don't know what it makes you, but it makes you something powerful, doesn't it? It makes you something capable, right? It makes you something that doesn't need to be intimidated by the ugliness of evil. It makes you something that can overcome that and fight through it. And today I want you to know that some of us, we have been defeated in life, not because we're actually defeated, but because we're choosing to be defeated. And some of us need to realize that, yeah, there's evil, it's ugly, it's nasty, it's mean, but guess what? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What is in you through Christ is greater than what is in all the powers of hell combined. And so you can win the battle in the fight that's before you. And here's what evil would love to do. It would just love to intimidate you to believe that you can't. It would love for you to think that what Peter is saying is wrong. No, I can't fight against a roaring lion. Peter says, yes, you can. Punch it in the mouth. You got this. I know it's tough, but you're something more. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You are the apex predator. You don't need to be in fear. You just need to stand firm. Resist him and fight against him. God has made some of you stronger than you are giving yourself credit. You need to realize that the battle that you're in is winnable. That God has given you everything you need to win. You just got to live it out. Quit sandbagging. Live up to the potential that God has put in you. And then Peter says this. He says, also know that this same battle is being fought all over the place by different brothers and sisters. See, we are not alone or unique in your struggle. I don't know what your particular struggle is today, but here's what I know. Others have gone through it. And when you and I, when we start telling ourselves that our struggle is so unique, here's what it does. It creates the opportunity for us to lose the battle in our minds. Because if my struggle, if I'm the only one, if I'm the only one there, then it means that there's something going so bad wrong in me that I'm in this terrible spot and I can never get out. Here's what Peter says. No. You got brothers and sisters all over the place. They're fighting the same fight. Some of them, they're finding out how to win. And you can too. And you can support each other. See, the devil loves to isolate us. He loves to draw us away from others. See, some of us are giving power to evil in our lives because we are just retreating to ourselves. We're retreating to the craziness of our own mind. And we need to get out of our head. We need to start talking to people. We need to tell people what's going on in us, what we're going through. And what we're going to see is that there's a community that can support us. And we're not alone in this fight. Peter says, resist him. Stand firm. You can. And there's others out there that are fighting the battle with you. You're not alone. And then he says this, the anticipation. Let me read this verse again to you, verse 10. And after you've suffered, say that phrase, put it in the chat, a little while. It's temporary. Your struggle and my struggle is temporary. I know it doesn't feel like that. It feels permanent. It's temporary. But here's what's permanent. The God of all grace, who's called you to eternal glory, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Your battle and my battle is a passing thing. God is leading each of us to eternal glory. The story of your life and my life is going to be marked by grace and glory, by God's undeserved love, by God's glory, and by God glorifying you. That's where each of our lives are going. I don't need a crystal ball. I don't need to call Miss Cleo and pay $8.99 per 12 seconds. I don't need any of that. Here's what I know. If you're a follower of Jesus, your life is going towards greater grace and greater glory. And just think about that for a second, because here's what it means for us. It means that today, no matter what your present struggle is, you can live with the anticipation of grace and glory. Today, I want you to think, what anticipation are you living in? I know this last year, it's kind of trained us to live with the anticipation of just waiting for the next shoe to drop. When's the next bit of bad news? When's the next struggle? When's the next difficulty? When's it coming? And I think, church, so many of us, as far as of Jesus, we get caught in that cycle. And so we begin to reflect it, and we just begin to just keep looking at life and saying, I know God is good, but when's the shoe going to drop? And we live with the wrong anticipation, and we are robbed of present joy and present struggle. Some of you are tough. You can endure. And there's a place for that. God wants, I think, to make you tough, and he wants you to endure. But guess what God also wants for you? Joy. Peace. Happiness. And what if Christians were people who were not only tough, but incredibly joyful as well? What if we could be people who went through pain, not just waiting for the next ugly bad news, but we went through and we said, you know what? This cloud is dark, but the sun's going to come out. God's grace is going to be here. God's glory is going to show up. And we were anticipating that in the same way that the world anticipates darkness. Wouldn't that be a powerful, powerful thing? And wouldn't that just make life more fun? I love optimistic people. I love being around people that are looking for solutions, that are looking for God to show up. And I think those people are too few in this world. And Peter is saying, guys, what you're going through is temporary. What's permanent is God's glory and grace flowing into your life. Today, can I just challenge you? If the defining theme of your future is grace and glory, then what should my attitude in the present be? Doesn't it change my attitude? Can I look at the attack that I might be under and say, all right, this isn't fun, but it's not going to last. It's not going to last. This is temporary. What is going to last is God's purpose, is God's glory. Our struggle is temporary. God's glory is permanent. Make sure you make your home in the right place. Too many Christians, we think that our struggle is permanent, and we set up camp there, we build our house there. Build your house in grace and glory, because that is what is permanent. And here's what Peter is saying. He's saying every present struggle in your life and my life will create future grace. He's saying, yeah, you'll go through it for a little while, but then guess what? Then God is going to restore you. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to renew you. Church, some of you, your strength, it's on the way. God's Amazon primed it. It's coming soon. Your restoration, it's on the way. And all that you have gone through, God is going to use to create in you something better than you are right now. All the powers of hell, this is what Peter is telling us, don't miss this, all the powers of hell can only make you more of who God wants you to be. Peter's saying that roaring lion, he can come, he can roar, he can bite, he can claw, he can go after you, but all that's going to do, God's going to use that in his wisdom and in his power to make you more of who he wants you to be. The more that evil raises its game against you, the more sanctified and holy you're going to become. The greater son and daughter of God you're going to become. The more God's purpose is going to establish you. What evil doesn't realize is that every day it's against you, it's shooting itself in the foot. And the purpose of God is only gaining strength. And some of you today, you just need to know that Jesus wins. The fight that you're in, he wins. He's gonna win. And you can live with that anticipation and that strength. See, the devil, at the end of the day, all the powers of evil, They want to destroy your faith. They don't want you living in that anticipation. They want you living in the anticipation that God is not faithful to do what he said he would do. They want you living in the anticipation that God is going to abandon you, that God is going to cast you away, that God is going to fail you. And the more that the devil and evil can keep you on that train of thought, the more that they win. Because at the end of the day, your faith is dangerous to evil. Your faith is incredibly powerful. Your faith can change your world, can change your experience in this world, can change you. But your faith can not only change you, it can change people around you. It can change our church. It can change your friends. It can change your family. It can change your work. It can change this world. And the devil knows that. He probably knows that more than you know that, more than I know that. And so he wants to take it out. But let me just show you how powerful your faith can be. Someone pointed this out to me. I didn't see this myself, but it was so powerful. There's a story in Mark chapter 2 when Jesus is in a house and people, so many people are coming in to get healed. And these four friends, they bring their buddy who's paralyzed. They bring him on a mat. They take the roof off the house. I mean, they go all out to get their friend to Jesus so Jesus can heal him and bless him. And it says this: they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. And he healed him. He healed his body, and he forgave his sins. But look again at verse 5. Jesus saw his faith, the paralytic. Jesus saw the paralytic's faith. The paralytic was looking to Jesus and saying, I believe in you. I know you're going to heal me. No. He said he saw their faith. It's a small point of grammar, but it's important. Their faith is plural. Who's he talking about? The friends that carried Jesus in. Their faith became the catalyst for Christ healing in the friend's life. I don't know if the friend had faith or not. Is he in there? He might be. He might not be. But either way, what we're seeing is that their faith, Christ responded to their faith for him. And see, evil doesn't want your faith to get going, because when your faith gets going, it's not just going to help you, it's going to help other people. God is going to look at your faith and he's going to bless people in your family because of it. He's going to look at your faith and he's going to bless your friends because of it. He's going to look at your faith and he's going to bless our church because of it. He's going to look at your faith and he's going to bless our community because of it, because that's how powerful God can work through your faith and my faith. And the powers of hell do not want that. So here's what I want you today to do today. I want you to express a greater faith in God. I want you to annoy the heck out of the powers of evil by trusting in God in a beautiful, in a powerful way for your life, for the life of those around you, by leaving here with anticipation that God is going to break through the dark cloud in your life and you are going to see his glory and his goodness. And church, what a blessing that will be to you, but also to everyone around you, because there is something in you that is so powerful, that is so good, that is so transforming to this world, you cannot sandbag it. You got to let it out. And Christ will be glorified in an awesome way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you could stir our faith today. I pray, Lord, that you could strengthen us, that we could resist the attacks of evil. Whoever is watching this that is under attack right now, Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen you would put fuel on their faith, that they would resist, they would be firm, and their faith would shine, and people would be blessed. Father, increase our faith, strengthen our faith. Let us look at the attacks on our life as reasons to trust you in an even deeper way. And may it all glorify your good and your holy name. I ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.